This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
He had the most active right hand you'll ever see when he played.
So he didn't bother playing back up.
Nope.
That means he had to come up so that he could
strike.
Play back down.
Right.
So he was fast.
Had the most active right hand you'll ever see. So it's not just that he had the equipment, it was his playing style.
Class is in.
Hey, welcome to Rock School. My name is Joe Burns, a professor right here at Southeastern Louisiana University. Chad P. is over there with his microwaved breakfast. What do we got there, biscuits and chicken?
These are going to be chicken biscuits with a nice cup of coffee.
It seems like you're getting decent nutrition
Well, I'm trying,
Doc. How's your teeth?
They're great.
Good.
They're gone.
Everything dissolved and
yeah,
all of that? Well,
everything
good.
Is good. That's why I'm eating biscuits and drinking a smoothie again.
I see.
It's
actual solid food.
It's wonderful to be back on solid food, yeah.
The KSLU Fun Drive, if you listened last week to our show, we were screaming, hey, buy our show, buy our show, buy our show. It took a little longer this time.
Yeah.
And we were calling each other going, has anyone bought the show yet? No. Oh, no.
But then of all people to step in and save the day.
Don't say it.
Why?
Don't say it. Oh, okay. Go ahead and say it.
Well, your wife.
Yeah, my wife bought the show.
Your wife bought the show, but there's...
It wasn't because I prodded her.
No.
She bought the show.
She bought the show, and from what I understand, there's some type of under-the-rug contingent deal that I don't know about.
Well, she wants you off the show.
Wait, what?
Well, she had such a good time doing the show after hurricane whatever it was.
Well, Gustav
that you missed. Yeah,
because I had to take care of my family.
She wants to do the show again.
Well, she can do the show again. Just bring her in.
Not with you. She wants you gone.
What?
Look, do you want the $200 or do you not want the $200?
She really said?
Person who is in charge of the KSLU Fun Drive. You're gone, champ. I'm sorry.
What?
You can sit in there and run the board, but you have to keep your mouth shut.
I'm not running the board.
I don't know how to run the board, so you have to run the board.
I don't know what to say.
Well, next week, my loving wife, Tammy, will be here in the studio with us. And
apparently I will not.
Well, you'll be in the studio. You just can't open your big fat mouth. Tell everybody if they wish to actually give some money to the KSLU Fun Drive. How do they do it? We're in the midst of it right now. No tote bags. How do they do it?
Well, they'll log on to our website at kslu.org. See, whenever Rock School airs, we don't really have that much personnel in the studios to answer the phones. Most of the time, we take the pledges via telephone. But in this case, we'd like you to go ahead and go to our website, kslu.org. You have two options right there. You can either fill out a pledge card, and that will kick an email to us, and then we will actually mail you a gift letter that you can write out a check, or you can pledge online right there via a credit card.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Now, by the way, what? I'm sorry you're not talking next week, but I'd like to point out this cost me 200 bones to actually do this.
I thought you guys had separate accounts.
Well, not that I know of.
Whatever.
Let's get into our topic for this week. This is the second show of a twofer of the Guitar Player Magazine, 50 Greatest Guitar Tones of All Times. We did the top 25 last week, and you can go to the website, once again, kslu.org, and hear that show, and we'll do the top 25 or the next 25 this week.
I'd like to point out that last week was very enjoyable for me because while I was anticipating a couple of the names that were on there,
I also learned
a lot of unknown guitarists that I got a chance to go back and take a listen to.
Right.
And really, really good stuff.
I'll tell you, I'll toss out a few that you don't know this week, but we'll start with one that I'll bet you do.
I know that guy.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Oh, he's only the fastest guitarist in the world.
I think he is. Some people don't, but I think he is. You'll see his Duck Strat. That's the Strat hat that was white at one point in time, but has since gone yellow over the years, and they call it the duck strap, into a DOD 250 overdrive, Plexi Marshall, all kinds of heavy, heavy distortion. Huge fan of Eddie Van Halen, so he tried to equal out the Brown sound. Not as much distortion as you'd think, but you can't have a lot of distortion if you're playing that many notes. They have to articulate themselves.
That is face right there in the magazine?
That's his face back when he was young.
Why does he look so angry?
Well, it was his big thing. He's a Baroque style guitarist, and when he was with Rising Force and Alcatraz, heavy metal type stuff, you have to sort of scowl at the camera.
He's what style?
Baroque.
Well, you know what they say.
Oh, God.
If it's not Baroque,
yeah,
don't fix it.
There you are.
That's why I'm getting kicked off.
I think so, too. From Rising Force, his breakthrough album, this is Black Star. It starts off with a little bit of a classical piece right at the beginning, sort of a Bach-ish type thing, and then goes into Black Star. Listen to the tone. Has distortion, but really only kicks in the distortion when he plays two notes at the same time. It's a real close to Eddie Van Halen's Brown sound. So here's Malmsteen to kick us off with the second half of Gibson's 50 Greatest Guitar Tones of All Time, Rock School. Yngwie Malmsteen, you asked me off mic where he's from.
Where is
he
from?
I think he's Norwegian. Don't hold me to that, but I think that's where he is.
Yngwie.
I think in Norwegian it means Fred. Yeah. Okay, let's move along. If you're a fan of the Smiths, Johnny Marr is next on the list. How Soon Is Now is where they're taking you to listen to some tone, which is interesting because some of the guitar parts in How Soon Is Now are actually recorded backwards.
Huh?
Yeah, backwards.
Why?
Which is real hard to play live. Number 28, Hank Marvin, Apache. He was the lead guitarist for The Shadows, a couple backup bands there in the UK. We've played Apache on the show, so I'm not going to play it again, but Hank Marvin, although not real well known here in the United States, known for bringing the first Stratocaster into the UK, a huge, huge influence on budding guitarists like Jeff Beck, Ritchie Blackmore, Jimmy Page. He's sort of been the first guitarist to really be a rock influence in the UK, but again, not known here. So if you don't know him, seek him out. And the one we're going to play, if you're talking tones, the tone this guy gets is, A, impossible to reproduce because you can't reproduce the equipment, and impossible to reproduce because the recording techniques that they used were unbelievable. Brian May of Queen, number one, he built his guitar.
He built it?
Oh, sure. It's the Red Special. I've gone into how he and his father actually built a guitar. They were unable to afford a guitar at the time, so they built it out of basically stuff around the house. The wood for the guitar was out of a fireplace, you know, mantle that was in his home at the time. And he runs into a Vox AC30, which is an old amplifier that, again, at the time, you have to have the equipment to reproduce the tone. But then furthermore, he doesn't use a guitar pick. He uses a coin, so he gets that metallic scrape. And a lot of his stuff, when he plays, he uses his fingers to play. But when you watch him, instead of plucking down on the strings with his thumb or his finger, plucking up with his finger, he sort of taps it. Sort of rubs his finger across it, almost bowing it with his finger.
I bet he's got calluses for days.
He's amazing when he plays. And again, to attempt to recreate him, it's nil to impossible, which is why he's one of the top 50 tones. And in my opinion, one of the greatest tones you'll ever hear from Brian May is from Killer Queen. Layers and layers and layers orchestral work with the guitar. And I think that was just Freddie Mercury just tinkering and tinkering and tinkering until he was finally happy with it. So
do it.
Here is Killer Queen, Rock School.
In a pretty cabinet, let them eat cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette, a building remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy at a time.
This is Rock Schools. We do show number 2 of the Gibson Guitars 50 Greatest Guitar Tones of All Time. Coming in at number 30, Roger McGuinn and 8 Miles High. I'll tell you why this is on the list, at least my opinion why it's on the list. Other people were using Rickenbacker 12 strings at the time. The Beatles were using Rickenbacker 12 strings at the time.
Yes.
The reason I think this song gets so much play is A, because of the Rick 12. But when you listen to it, he goes into a real high-pitched trill.
What's a
listen
trill?
Listen to it. You play two notes real close with it. Listen to 8 Miles High, and right before they go in to the verses, McGuinn does that trill right in front of it. I think that's what sets the song apart. The fact that it's on a 12 is nice, but it's that trill right before, and that's the thing that people listen to.
Ooh.
Coming in at 31, John McLaughlin, Meeting of the Spirits is the song that Guitar Player Magazine chose from the 1971 album, The Inner Mounting Flame. It's from the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
The what?
Mahavishnu Orchestra. It's a sort of a new way, or new age type music orchestra with unbelievable guitar solos from John McLaughlin. It's hard to play on the radio because the songs go 7 and 8 minutes. It just eats up too much of a show. Mm. 32 is Pat Metheny. Metheny is a guitarist that you have to sort of be a guitarist to know, because you won't hear him inside of a lot of other people's stuff. He's known as a solo guitarist and plays these big open body Gibsons and is a jazz player right now. He's touring with electronic, I don't know how else to say it, instruments right now. He has a computer that runs machinery that plays the instrument, meaning a computer will use a machine to strike a drum.
Really?
A computer will run a bow that will play a violin. A computer will hit keys to play a piano.
Right.
And then Metheny will then play guitar out in front of it. He's touring around Europe with this thing right now.
A one-man band.
Yeah, it literally with a machine playing the other machines in the background. 60 Minutes, not 60 Minutes, what's the CBS Saturday morning show? I can't think of it. CBS Sunday Morning, I think it is.
Okay.
Look them up on the internet and then look up Metheny and you'll see the story that they did on it. Thing breaks down half the time, but people just sit out in the audience and wait for it to get fixed.
But how, I just don't know if I could warm up to that type of show.
You know, it's, you know, what do you do
whenever the audience gives you a standing ovation and you turn around and go, that was great, guy. Oh.
Here's the machine. Coming in 33, Tom Morello.
Yeah.
I mean, anything by them. He just gets a fantastic sound out of his instruments.
He's insane. I mean, he does things that you just normally don't do. I watched a video on him one time, and he's like, what I just did, you know, I took this pickup, and then I did this, and I just did this. Like, why would you do that? Why not?
He's sort of today's Andy Summers. He works the machines. And the one we're going to play, we don't play a whole lot of country on this show, so I wanted to come in and get theirs. No, this one's actually really good. We're going to do one from Merle Haggard, Working Man Blues, and I picked it because they, Guitar Player Magazine, stated that this is literally honky-tonk tone 101. It is nothing more than a Telecaster plugged into an amplifier, back pickup, and it's all done from the elbows down.
Mm.
It's picking, bending the strings, and fighting the instrument the whole way through it. It sounds like this. Working Man Blues. The guitarist is Roy Nichols. You want to play Honky Tonk? It's got to sound like this. Rock School.
It's a big job getting by with 9 kids and a wife. Give it up.
Shout out Ralph Wood.
There you go, a little country on the radio show. This is Rock School as we do Guitar Player Magazine's 50 Greatest Guitar Tones of All Time. Now, you've noticed we've been doing songs. The 50 greatest are songs.
Well, yeah, what else would you play?
Well, the magazine also has at the beginning the dozen greatest guitar tones by players. Players that have the greatest guitar tones. Since there are 12 of them, I'll do quick 6 in the first break and 6 in the second break.
Fair enough.
It says here, AC/DC, specifically Angus Young, greatest guitar tones. And it's interesting because you think of people who have tones basically using all kinds of fuzz boxes, distortions, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Nothing. Straight out of the guitar, straight into the amplifier.
Simple.
They're just
very
turned
simple.
Up, ripping loud, so when he plays, they overdrive and get the distortion.
See, now that's a technique that I could wrap my head around.
Sure. Just turn it up loud.
Turn it on and turn it up.
That's it. Number 2, Eric Clapton. I mean, he's smooth. Absolutely smooth.
Very smooth.
Number 3, Jimi Hendrix. The tone that he had was just great. And I think it was just all of that old equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It was warmer back then. There were tubes.
Yeah, yeah.
It just sounded better. Number four, Tony Iommi. You know, a lot of people give Black Sabbath the tip of the hat for actually inventing heavy metal, whether they did or not. I mean, you could sit and talk about it till your hair turns gray, whether they actually did or not. But he's sort of given that moniker. So it's his SG through huge amplifiers that a lot of people look to and say that's the tone of heavy metal. Hmm. Number five, what does electric blues sound like? Well, a lot of people point to B.B. King, and they say that's the tone of electric blues.
I definitely would.
And number six, somebody you might not know, but you might want to get your hand on, Wes Montgomery. He is a jazz guitar player. And once again, what does electric jazz sound like? Yes, you've heard it through acoustic and other instruments, but what does electric jazz guitar sound like? Wes Montgomery. You need a tone to sort of emulate. You need a tone to have as a jumping off point. Wes Montgomery. And in the second break, we'll do the remaining six of what they call the best dozen guitar tones of all time by specific guitarists. Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. Up there, that'd be a baker's dozen.
That's true. Hey, we have the KSLU Fun Drive going on right now. Go to the website, KSLU.org. Pull out your wallet. We don't have any tote bags, I'm sorry to say, but we do have a way for you to give money because all these microphones and all this equipment that we use to broadcast does not come cheap. So please open your wallet because if you keep doing that, we can keep opening our mouths. Back in a minute. Rock School. All right, let me get a few more in here before we get to the one we want to play. Number 35, they have as Les Paul. They chose the song Lover. No, okay, I'd have chosen How High the Moon, but that's fine.
How come?
Why Les Paul? Well, because no one had heard solid body instruments up to that point in time. And furthermore, Les Paul had been inventing all of these different things, these ways of recording, straight into the board, of phase shifting, multi-tracking. It just had never been heard before. It was a brand new sound. By today's standards, it's a who cares.
So how come you would have chosen a different song?
I just like it better. Just simple taste.
Okay.
I don't have a better reason than that.
Not for anything like it shows off the specific tone better?
Oh, no. He rips on everything he plays. I mean,
well, he's Les frickin' Paul.
Well, there you go.
Guitars are named after him.
There you go.
He's doing pretty good.
Trevor Rabin comes in at 36. He is the guitarist on the Yes album that features Owner of a Lonely Heart. That's 90125. Interestingly enough, again, it's not the playing from Trevor Rabin. It's how he got the sound. If you remember how weird the guitar solo was.
It does.
Yeah.
It sounds like a cat or something.
It does. Most guitarists today play right into the board. They just out of their guitar right into the board.
Sure.
He actually mic'd it. Put a microphone right in front of the amplifier.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of ambient noise in there. But then it is set into an MXR pitch shifter and then pitched the whole guitar up a fifth. So it's one of those things. How come I can't get it to sound like the guitar? Well, you don't have the equipment.
Right.
So sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Sure.
Next up is Elliot Randall, Reeling in the Years. Wait a minute, Jeff Skunk Baxter played it. Well, no, when they played it live, Jeff Skunk Baxter was part of the Steely Dan band and he played it live. However, the solo itself, which is what they're saying is such a great tone, was played by a session guy by the name of Elliot Randall.
Uh-huh.
Live, Jeff Skunk Baxter played it, but Elliot Randall was the guy that actually played it. Number 38, Blitzkrieg Bop by Johnny Ramone. You were talking about AC/DC and how simple it is?
Yes.
Same thing with the Ramones. It was simply a Moss Wright guitar into a 100-watt Marshall stack. Once again, guitarist, elbows down. Every strike from the Ramone, every strike with the pick, was down. He had the most active right hand you'll ever see when he played.
So he didn't bother playing back up.
Nope.
That means he had to come up so that he could play
strike
back down.
Right.
So he was fast.
Had the most active right hand you'll ever see. So it's not just that he had the equipment, it was his playing style. Mm-hmm. Buddy Holly did the same thing. All downstrokes.
Every single one of them. I can't do that without my whole body convulsing like that.
Neither could he. And the one we're going to play, Lord, I tried to equal this guy's tone.
Randy Rhoads.
Oh, I tried like crazy.
I see him.
We're going to do Flying High again. Why can't I equal it? Well, I didn't have the equipment. I didn't have the guitar. I didn't have the amplifier. But furthermore,
you're no Randy
a Rhodes. Lot of his guitar, right, I didn't have the talent either. But a lot of his guitar work is layered one guitar on top of another guitar on top of another guitar, which gives it that knife edge sound. The highs are much more pitched.
But that's done in studio, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you can't do that live. So how does he can't duplicate that sound live.
Well, you could if you had, once again, the board to help you out. You could pitch the highs up. You could do things like that. But what a knife edge sound the guy got. And by the way, just on a personal note, interestingly enough, I played in a talent show in college. I played the Flying High Again solo.
Did you now?
That was what I played.
Well, did you win?
No.
Because you're no Randy Rhoads.
You're not kidding. Here you go. Flying High Again, coming in at number 39, Rock School. All right, bottom of the hour here on Rock School. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
We had a little conversation before we went on the air. Number 40 is a song that I wasn't sure I should really play, but Chad is begging me for
it. I'm not begging you. I'm demanding that you play it.
All right.
I don't even get to be on the show next week, so you will play this song. You owe me a tune.
You got it.
Okay.
So remember, as we come out of 7 days and 70 seconds, the number 40 song, the number 40 guitar tone is from Chadley.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep that in mind.
That's right.
7 days, 70 seconds, Monday, September 26th through Sunday, October 2nd. Chad has Monday. Go.
September 26th in 1956, Elvis Presley performed at the Mississippi-Alabama Fair and Dairy Show. The mayor of Tupelo, Mississippi, declared that day to be Elvis Presley Day.
There you are. Tuesday, September 27th, 25 years ago in 1986, bassist Cliff Burton of Metallica dies at age 24 when the band's tour bus crashes in Sweden.
September 28th, 20 years ago in 1991, the King of Cool, influential jazz trumpeter Miles Davis, died of pneumonia, respiratory failure, and stroke in Santa Monica, California. He was 65.
Thursday, September 29th, 35 years ago, while celebrating his 41st birthday, rock and roll legend Jerry Lee Lewis accidentally shoots his bassist, Butch Evans, twice in the chest. Twice, accidentally.
Sorry, Butch.
Oops, sorry.
Sorry.
Bang twice.
Again.
With a .357 Magnum, Owens survives, and Lewis is charged with, get this, shooting a firearm in city limits. Forget about the whole hitting the guy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have shot the firearm.
What kind of payback prank do you think Bruce played on him?
Nothing.
September 30th of 1967, BBC One goes on the air. It's the UK's first pop radio station.
Saturday, October 1st, 1983, Quiet Riot's Metal Hell hits number 7, making it the most successful debut metal record to date. October 2nd, 35 years ago, musician Joe Cocker performs a duet of Feeling All Right with actor-comedian John Belushi on Saturday Night Live. All right. Did disco suck? Well, sometimes, and sometimes it rocked. This one's from Nile Rodgers, who plugged in his Stoptail Stratocaster directly into a Nev board and created a sound that was bright but not brittle. And according to Guitar Player Magazine's 50 Greatest Tones of All Time, this was one of them. This is La Freak.
That's right, and you will play it.
All right,
Don't ask me if it doesn't belong on a rock show. The guitar player's in your stupid little guitar magazine.
You know what we used to do when my wife and I were disc jockeys and we used to go out to parties?
No.
When we'd play a song that most people didn't like, we pretended that somebody requested it. This one's from Chad.
Oh, you suck.
Rock School. That's Nile Rodgers playing the guitar there on La Freak.
By request.
That's right. Moving on.
I don't care if you say it's by request or not. That's a good tune, and you were bobbing your head.
I was, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to number 41, Mick Ronson played the guitar on Ziggy Stardust back in 1972. Again, comes in at number 41. Just to tell you how silly guitarists are about thinking they can get a different tone out of an instrument, he had a Les Paul, and he didn't think the guitar sounded very good. So what he did was he took it to a luthier who pulled out all the electronics and then took a sander and sanded all the finish off so it was back down to the bare wood. And he thought, Ronson, thought that that made the guitar sound better. And then he ran it through a 200-watt Marshall with lots of little things on it, and that's how he got the sound for Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you just sit down and start thinking of stuff like that. I mean, why don't you guys get a hobby or something?
That is our hobby.
It is a hobby.
Number 42, and the one we're going to play, Rock Bottom from Michael Schenker and UFO. Man, I used to be a huge fan of UFO. Here's the interesting thing about Michael Schenker. Again, Flying V guitar. Nothing real special about it, either P90 pickups or humbucker pickups. But what he used to do during his solos, what a lot of people, you know, sort of picked up afterwards, oftentimes people will step on a phase shifter turned all the way down just to get a treble boost.
Yeah.
What Schenker used to do, and you'll hear it in this one as well, wah pedals, what you normally get from a wah pedal, waka-chicka-waka-chicka-waka-chicka, right. Mm-hmm. What he used to do was use it to get a treble boost, a touch of loudness. He would take the wah pedal, kick it halfway down, and then just pop, step on it. And that's it. Never touch it, but just use it halfway down, and it would just wow, bring out more of the highs of the instrument. And instead of using it as something that would rock from lows to highs, he would use it as a treble boost. And that's how he got such a neat sound out of it.
Why not?
Little 50-watt Marshalls to record with, a crybaby wah pedal, and play loud. That's what he did. Here's Rock Bottom from Michael Schenker right here at Rock School. After our second break here on Rock School, let's return to the dozen cool guitar tones by actual guitarists. Jimmy Page, they proclaim, has one of the best guitar tones. I like it because it's mainly how he plays. He's real sloppy when he plays.
Sloppy?
And he is. He's not real specific
That's
when he plays.
That's not very nice.
No, it's part of him. It really is. And he gets a lot of his stuff out of that 1970s, just, you know, overdriven, little choppy distortion in there. Number eight, Keith Richards. Once again, cool, cool rhythm out of the guy. Carlos Santana.
Mm-hmm.
No one has that sound. You know it's Santana. I mean, you think of the Supernatural LP. The moment it kicks in, you just know it's Santana.
He is so smooth.
There you are.
It is the smoothest sound I think I've ever heard.
Oh, I agree. The Edge. Mm-hmm. You know it's The Edge the moment it kicks in.
Yep.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hard blues.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's him the
blues
moment
rock.
It kicks in. And then Edward Van Halen, that Brown sound. I mean, he's turned into a bit of a goofball as of late. But through the first albums with David Lee Roth, he got a little too muddy and a little too far back in the mix when he was with Sammy Hagar. I hated the way they were produced. But when Ted Templeman was working with them, 78 through 84,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the guitar tone was unbelievable. He'll never equal the first album when he was using the Variac and that specific Marshall Watt head, and they just performed live with a couple overdubs for vocals and some guitar repairs.
Sure.
But my God, what a sound. Hello, KLSU. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin. You guys are off to a good start this NFL season.
I'm telling you what. We got to go real fast when we get back. I got just a few left, but only time to play a couple songs. Back in a minute. Rock School. Number 43 in the Gibson 50 Greatest Guitar Tones of All Time is Tom Scholz, Peace of Mind.
Oh, yeah, Boston.
I'm not going to play a Boston, and the reason is because, A, we're running out of time, and B, because we've played a lot of Boston on the show, and also we have an entire show dedicated to just the Boston sound and how I think they got it.
And rightfully
so,
deserving.
Well, yes.
You
head out
play
to
him.
Head out to the website, kslu.org. Click on the Rock School link on the right-hand side. Look at all of our podcasts and find the Boston sound, and there's an hour just dedicated to how I think the Boston sound is actually created. Andy Summers, A Message in a Bottle. Andy Summers is just always got his Telecaster, thousands of effects. He was sort of the Edge before the Edge was cool. Pete Townsend comes in at number 45. I Can't Explain. Once again, layered guitars. One of the first guys to have the 100-watt Marshall head. Heavy, heavy power chords. And because of the layered heavy power chords, lots of open tunings. One of the first people to do it, which is why I think they're on this.
Yep.
Person I want to play, 46. Let me introduce you to somebody. Robin Trower. Ever heard the name?
I have not.
He was the guitarist for Procol Harum.
Oh.
And for the longest time, known for that, five albums with him, and then out on his own. If you are a guitarist, you probably are going, oh, yeah, Robin Trower. Uh-huh. Outside of that, you might not know him. If there is a song that people who know Robin Trower kind of point to, it's something called Bridge of Sighs. Okay. So if it's new to you, here is nice, thick distortion, great vibrato. And it's one of these where you can just sort of hear the mastery of the instrument. Okay. So here is Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs from 1974 from the album Bridge of Sighs. Rock School. Last break on Rock School, and I have about, what do we got, four more to go through here. So let me tell you who they are on the Gibson 50 Greatest Guitar Tones of All Time. Number 47, Leslie West, Mississippi Queen. Nice, thick guitar tones. How does he get it? He's using a Les Paul Jr. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a Les Paul, and then what Gibson decided to do, what a lot of guitar companies decided to do, were create smaller, what they called student-sized versions of their guitar.
Right.
It, what he calls, the way Leslie West calls it, it's a piece of wood with a microphone stuck on it. That's pretty much what it was. They were just cheaper versions of their original guitars. And what you'll find is a lot of guitarists liked the cheaper versions. Mm-hmm. They put in one really good pickup, and guitarists found they could get nice, thick, crunchy sounds out of them.
Cool.
So the heck with the big giant Les Paul, which is another, you know, $600, I'll take this little thing here.
Yeah.
And Leslie West took that single P90 pickup and created Mississippi Queen. Number 48, Jamie West Oram. He is the guitarist for The Fix, and you know how much I love The Fix. One thing leads to another. It's just that nice, clean 1980s sound. I'm going to skip over 49 because I'm going to play them to finish up. 50, they proclaim, is Neil Young's Cinnamon Girl. It's the original drop D grunge sound tuning. It's played on Old Black, his Les Paul with the three pickups, going through just a big fat amplifier. Delicious, grungy, swampy tone, and that's what I think is he's really known for. A lot of people call him the grandfather of grunge.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one we're going to end on. It's number 49, but we're going to end on it. Link Wray's Rumble. Maybe the one that started the power chord, but if you've ever tried to play Rumble, maybe it's the one that started rock chords. Maybe it's the one that started the rock sound. If you've ever attempted to play it, you can't get the tone.
No.
Why?
Why?
Because you have to destroy your amplifier to do it. It was recorded on a 53 Les Paul. Well, 58 is when it was recorded, so it wasn't odd that they would have a 53 Les Paul going through a Premier amp. Oh, okay, I can get a Premier amp. What you have to do is take a pencil and punch holes in the amplifier's cone.
What?
They couldn't get real good distortion back then. There just wasn't enough overdrive. The preamplifier systems couldn't do it. So in order to get distortion, they had to get something inside of the amplifier buzzing. So what they did is they took a pencil and they poked holes in the cone of the amplifier.
Well, what if that didn't work?
Well, then they destroyed
an
amplifier.
Then you're the moron that just punched holes in your thing with a pencil.
But you know what?
What?
It did work.
Mm.
So we wrap it up. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
We'll have a new one for you next week with my loving wife. Well, you'll be here. You just won't be on microphone.
Not doing it.
Link Wray, Rumble wraps it up. Class is dismissed.